This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Both hailing from parts unknown at a combined weight of 501 pounds. They are the Morning Rush Hour World Tag Team Champions. They have no fear, no back down, just a couple of gutsy guys. No one will take those MRH World Tag titles from these men. It's Taz, it's the Moose, illustrious champions, right here every day on CBS Sports Radio.
You know it's every day, Moose and Taz be picking away. Talking about every sport, you know that they never missing a play. From the NBA to the NFL, the college games, they always bringing the knowledge, nobody ever can try to go stop it. Only me talking the truth, only me talking the truth, ayy. You know it's Taz and Moose, you know it's Taz and Moose, ayy.
Certainly is on a Tuesday morning. Taz of the Moose with you, coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Millions of Americans finance the home of their dreams with their help. They can help you too. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. Mike Pete across the way. Heller, your updates. Taz, as we spent hour number one talking about the latest allegations potentially against the New England Patriots, we'll see where that NFL investigation does go. We had an ugly football game amongst the raindrops last night down in Philadelphia at the Link as the Eagles beat the Giants 23-17 in overtime, and the touchdown pass from Carson Wentz to Zach Ertz to win it in overtime on the Eagles' possession. And the Giants played well in the first half, very poorly in half number two, and the Eagles keep their playoff hopes alive.
I mean, the Giants, the first half of that game, I mean, they not super early in the game, but, you know, I don't remember the time, maybe midway through the first quarter or going to the second quarter. That game sucked. That game was boring. That game was like the Eagles were just like, it was so hard to watch. And then once you're kind of rooting for Eli Manning if you don't have a dog in a fight. I mean, legendary player, and you know, he got benched for the kid Jones. But, and here he is. Next thing you know, he's throwing beautiful passes, and guys are catching balls, and you know, and it's like you see his family in the luxury box, and they're celebrating. You see his brother up there going crazy, his wife smiling, and it's like, wow, finally a little entertainment, a little life in here. You're happy for Eli. It's a good story, you know. But the game kind of as an overview sucked, you know. But I'm surprised the Eagles came back. I don't know. I mean, I didn't watch a lot of the fourth quarter. I fell asleep, to be honest, sort of highlights.
I guess as bad as they play in the first half, Taz, I guess I am too. Now the Giants had lost 8 in a row. Now they've lost 9 in a row. I don't know if they necessarily know how to win games. The Eagles changed things up about what they were doing defensively in the second half too. With Schwartz, they got a little bit more efficient offensively. The Eagles at the end of the game had one healthy wide receiver. Think about that. I mean, that's it. They were rolling out there in overtime. They had one wide receiver. They were rolling out three tight ends for Carson Wentz to throw the football to. And Miles Sanders coming out of the backfield. And, you know, the other running back, number 35, had himself a game as well. And Boston Scott played very well for the Philadelphia Eagles last night.
Guys you didn't know, expect coming off the bench.
No, coming off the bench, yeah, right. Yeah. It kind of looked like a modern Darren Sproles.
Yeah.
Did he not?
Yeah,
I mean, he's kind of similar body type, small guy, shifty, making guys miss in the backfield, you know, physical, willing to take a hit. You know, there was a lot to like about number 30, about Scott last night for the Eagles.
What a name, Boston Scott.
Yes, that is a name. You're right about that.
It sounds like someone that should be working like on Wall Street, like a hedge fund Jones.
No doubt.
Or like some ritzy guy like in Cape Cod, like on his yacht.
It is a
Boston Scott.
Well, you're right about that.
What a name.
That's true, right. You should be a CEO of some company down in Wall Street.
Yeah, not banging heads as a football player.
No, you should not be. And it was an ugly game. And I come out of it, number one, from an Eagles perspective, is you know, they win, but, I mean, how could you feel good about any of these teams in the NFC East? You know, the Giants and Redskins are terrible, but I'm talking about the two teams at the top, the Eagles and the Cowboys. I mean, whichever one ends up winning that division, I mean, does it really matter? I mean, they're both bad football teams right now.
I know, I was way off on what the Cowboys could be and should be, but... No, you're right. I mean, and the announcers kind of hit on that last night. I mean, they Joe Test and Booger, they were kind of hitting on early in the game how it's like, well, this NFC East, well, someone's got to win it. it's tough. It's tough to watch. It stinks. You would think the Eagles,
so bad last
Eagles
night,
had a chance to come back. Like, I know they won the game, as I'm saying, come back during the year, like to make you feel right as this game started on Monday night. And they didn't. They stunk it out that first half. And they did. They made adjustments at halftime to the point you just made. And they ended up coming back and winning the game. And time possession. If you look at the time possession of this game, it's so lopsided towards the Eagles. They had like doubled up the time like from the second half. 42 minutes. Almost 43 minutes of possession time for the Eagles, where the Giants had roughly 22 minutes. That's lopsided, dude.
That is lopsided.
Most NFL games are not like that.
No, you're right about that. That is lopsided and very, very slanted toward the Philadelphia Eagles, Taz. I just come out of it. I look at it. I know the Eagles are going to say, well, it's our first 14-point second-half comeback victory since 2014. That's great. But do you come out of it thinking that the Eagles all of a sudden found it? No, you come out of it. I came out of it more of a case that the Giants don't know how to win a football game right now. Their head coach is lost. And as good as Eli was in the first half, that's as bad as Eli was in the second half. Missing guys left and right, and no ability to elude the pass rush because he doesn't have that kind of an athletic ability. The running game went away, and their offense looked absolutely stagnant in the second half. And Shurmur looks lost on the sideline. A fourth and three. I mean, look at this situation. You are a 2-10 football team. It's week 14. Eagles just tie the game up at 17. It's 4th-and-3. You're at about your own, I would say, between 45 and 40-yard line. And you decide to punt the football. Why would you? What do you have to lose?
You got nothing to lose.
What do you have to lose?
I know.
Why not go for it? Why punt the ball back? You never saw the football again, right? I mean, the Eagles end up, I shouldn't say that. The Giants end up taking a knee at the end of the regulation, goes to overtime, then you never saw the football again. But... you never saw the football game with an opportunity to score. Why wouldn't you go for it there if you're Pat Shurmur? I mean, it makes no sense.
Right,
but that's how lost he is on the sideline right now.
Yes, I know.
And then you listen to the rationale after the game. You say to yourself, is this really the guy that's going to take this team to where they need to go when they have the right talent level? And some of these games, I mean, Giants-Dolphins next Sunday. Think about that game. That is a doozy of a football game.
Oh,
Giants-Dolphins.
That screams like maybe... 20 people are watching.
Oh, my God.
It's going to be horrible.
A terrible watch.
Horrible.
Draft order game.
Horrible. Yes, that is a draft order game. You're right about
Whoa.
That. That is a draft order game. Yeah. What do you think of Eli?
He's right. Oh, I thought he looked, like you said, I thought he looked good in the first half for sure. And then once they figured him out, it was Dunsky. You see why he got benched, unfortunately. But I was happy for him. He had those glimpses of doing well. He protected the ball. He had two touchdowns, no INTs. You know, 15 to 30, 203 yards. So, you know, he was kind of efficient for the most part as an overview, but that was mostly in the first half what he did. Connected with Slayton a good amount. You know, that kid Slayton's a good player. He's a good player. And you saw Jones connect with Slayton, too, before he got hurt.
Yep.
So, you know, I think it was okay. What'd you think of him?
I thought he looked really good in the first half.
Yeah.
I don't think he looked pretty. I don't think he looked good at all in the second half. There was a report that came out before the game, Taz, which we all saw from ESPN, that Eli Manning wants to play next year, that he'd like to continue to play.
I thought watching yesterday, I wanted to say this a second ago, and I forgot, Moose. I felt like it was an audition for him, for other teams. And I felt like that's why he felt like he had to show glimpses of who he was. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
To be a big time backup somewhere makes have an opportunity as a backup someplace. I don't think he's starting anywhere.
He wants an opportunity to compete to be a starter.
Wow, it's gonna be rough.
Well, I mean, if Eli wanted to be a backup, he's gonna have a job.
Right. Yeah, no, I know, but like
true, right? I mean, don't you think?
You're right.
I mean, if Eli was okay with being a backup quarterback and hanging around. Close.
That's a good point.
I mean, he could find a job to be a backup quarterback.
Right,
he's not
going
to make a ton of money, but, I mean, he'd make that. I mean, he wants an opportunity to be Not to be handed the starting job, but to compete for a starting job. I was surprised by that. I understand the competitive nature. I know it's difficult to say goodbye. Once you say goodbye, Taz, it's hard to go back, if not impossible to go back. It's not like he's 30 years of age or 31 years of age. He's in his late 30s. 40 is right around the corner. I always thought that this was kind of it for Eli. I didn't think he necessarily wanted to put on another uniform. Now we got to see if a team's willing to bring him in and allow him to compete for a starting job. That's the other hurdle he has to overcome. But if he wants to play next year, imagine Eli Manning wearing another uniform in the National Football League. That'd be strange to see.
It would be weird. But you know what? I mean, you know, these guys, they know that these teams don't have a complete loyalty to them. And they when they're not the starter no more, they know, hey, you know what? The hell with you. You're not going to be loyal to me. I'm not going to be loyal to you. I'll retire with a different jersey on. I don't care. It's about my career because you benched me. So, you know, I mean, that's how these guys think. You know what? I get that. I don't blame them for that. You know, they get motivated.
Oh, sure. Yeah. I guess next year, 2000, do you think Eli's in the NFL next year?
I do think he's in the NFL. You know what? I think he's good for football, and I think that there are teams or a team that'll want him involved to the point you're making, though. He's going to want to be a starter. You're right about that. I don't think that's going to happen. I do think that maybe someone will sell him the right way and pitch to him the right way to have him come onto a team, give back to the game, help a young quarterback, you know, and maybe be in a city. Maybe he wants to be. Maybe I know we talked about he bought like a big mansion somewhere in Jersey. We talking about that last year? With Eli?
Was it
not Beckham? Was one of the Giants? I could have sworn we talked.
Maybe it was Eli.
Yeah, whatever. I'm just saying. Maybe it's Jacksonville. If Cox Coughlin is still
down there running that team.
Yeah,
Foles has been terrible. Down
I can find out if you want.
Yes. Yeah, that's well. You know him. I mean, you know the owners.
Oh, come on, I'm locked in. Well, I might be coaching. I might be coaching the Jaguars.
Yeah, you might be. You might be coaching the D line. Run the D line, right?
Imagine that.
There's no more Oklahoma drills, Taz. Or no, what? No.
Nutcrackers.
No, what was that?
And Oklahoma's.
Yeah, it is Oklahoma.
You know, there's two different ways to do Oklahoma's, just so you just spitball with you for a second.
What's the two ways? I know the one way.
That's one way is one-on-one.
Yeah.
But there's different variations. Now, you know enough guys that played in the NFL. Guys that are a little bit older, they could tell you this. What I'm telling you is a fact. There's like one-on-one Oklahoma, so it's an offensive line versus defensive line with a ball carrier. And they put the cones there, so it's a tight drill. Then you do a two-on-two Oklahoma, where you have, let's say, a guard in the center or a guard in the tackle, and then like a defensive tackle and a linebacker, all within a tight cone area of like, whatever, 10 feet width with a ball carrier. And that's another way to do Oklahoma. So 2-on-2 or 1-on-1. That's how we did them when I was in high school and college. And we used to do them like that every day.
So the goal of the defensive lineman is get past the offensive lineman or linebacker and make the tackle on the running back.
Teaches you how to really play in a tight spot, like in a goal line or short yardage situation where you know it's going to be a dive or, you know, an off tackle play.
I didn't realize that.
I thought the
one way was the way.
Who you work on some way? Sundays.
Deal
will tell you.
I'm sure he would. Yeah.
He's done much more than me. So he can tell you that. That's what he should do.
But that's cool. I mean, and those things have been basically outlawed.
I know, which I don't understand why. I mean, I got to be honest. I the Oklahoma drill, I mean, there's another drill. I always say nutcracker. A lot of people know what a nutcracker is. Nutcracker.
I don't know what that is.
A lot of people don't. Nutcracker is this drill. You got to ask Deal about this.
Okay.
I guarantee he did it like in high school for sure. Picture this. Two guys, me and you, okay? Don't matter if you play offense, defense, whatever. Similar size guys in practice. Width of the cones, 6 feet. That's it.
Okay.
You lay on your back. I lay on my back. Our helmets are about, so I'm on my back here. You're on your back here. Our helmets, we're looking up at the sky, okay? Our helmets are about, you know, what is this, 2 feet apart, 3 feet apart, whatever. Yeah. Coach blows a whistle. We both get up as fast as possible. One of us has the ball, by the way. And nutcracker, boom, you hit.
Oh, I've seen that drill before. I didn't realize
that's how you get a nice concussion.
Yes, that is how you get a nice. I've seen that drill before. Yeah. I didn't realize that's what it was called, but I've seen that drill before.
Let me give you one more, sir, while we're adding this. Then there's bull in the ring.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. This is a fun concussion drill. So this one, the whole team circles up, or the defensive squad or linebackers, whatever your position, if you have enough guys. Big circle.
Mm.
Everyone gets a number. Coach goes around, goes 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Each guy, you got to remember your number. Coach will say, okay, Joe, get in the middle, right? Joe gets in the middle. He goes in a circle, keeps his head in a swivel. And coach yells out, 6. Here comes 6. Boom, gives him a shot. 8. Here comes 8. Gives him a shot. Each guy comes, boom, boom. Ball in the ring, dude. That's how you learn how to hit.
I've seen coaches do where they tap guys on the helmet.
Yeah,
walk
from behind.
On the outside, tap on the helmet.
It's a similar way, yeah.
Okay, similar
I've never
thing.
Done it like that. I've always done it with a coach.
But you know what I'm,
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah. That's cool.
Oh, yeah, it's cool. Let's shoot a guy in the middle.
Well, no, I understand.
Then a coach, if you're like a wise guy on the team, like a when I was a senior in high school, one of our guys was a little bit of a wise ass. Like,
yeah.
He was always cracking jokes on the coaches. Like, he was the team cut up. Good player, though.
Okay.
Big defensive end. And he would yell out 2 numbers. 7, 9, and 2 guys coming at him. It was hilarious. He never got hurt. It was just funny. You know?
Right, but two guys all of a sudden get run at the one guy. He must have been basically head on a swivel.
He was getting his ass kicked time. It was all fun, though.
That...
We had a good time. While gunshots are raining on Jamaica Avenue while we're practicing football. It was nice in Brooklyn.
Right, yeah. Nice and safe.
A bodega just got rolled. All right, free!
When's the right time to go bowling, Taz?
Bowling. Oh, for football, or college football bowling?
No.
Oh, real
bowling.
You know, my dad was.
Down the lane.
I told you about my dad, right?
Yes,
dad. Man, he was. Legit.
Yes, Bisseglia like used to go bowling and before he picked up Uber. Remember?
Yeah,
Bisseglia would go bowl a couple
games
every
week with the cat.
Yeah, Friday nights with the cat.
Well, Wilson. That's the cat. Wilson.
Exactly.
What's his name?
Leon.
Close.
Yes.
Why did you bring up bowling? I missed something.
Well, we'll get into it. I'll explain.
Oh, really?
I'll explain to you.
All right, I'll be right here.
That'll be it.
I'm here till 8:54. 8:54:30. I'm here.
45.
Something like that.
Well,
Taz, I'm leaving early
today. 15 seconds. Taz Booth, CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. And the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is brought to you by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on your car insurance. And Sunday, the NFL on CBS features a key AFC South showdown between Deshaun Watson and the Texans taking on the Titans, while others will see KC hosting Denver, plus other regional action. It all begins with JV and the guys setting up the day on the NFL Today at noon Eastern, 9 Pacific, only on CBS 10. So,
yeah, that's correct.
I was mentioning it going into break in terms of Le'Veon Bell, who we know missed the Jets-Dolphins game on Sunday due to the flu. Saturday night, reportedly, Le'Veon Bell was out bowling.
Saturday night he was out bowling?
Correct.
Well, this is what a lot of people don't realize. You know, I'm here to educate. So, Mike's an avid bowler. I've been around the bowling game for a lot of years in my life. Sometimes I know I could come off like a know-it-all. Is that annoying? I think I might come off like, what do you think? Is that a little bit annoying?
No, never.
Brad? No?
No, I didn't pick up on that.
No,
what about,
not at
what
all.
About, what about
no.
bowling?
Well, I was just asking Brad, Moose.
I didn't realize.
Hi. Hi.
Hello. So the thing with bowling, a lot of people don't realize, it's a super great way to catch a cold or a sickness or maybe even a disease, because these balls are filthy. If you're using what they call, Moose, a house ball, you know what that is?
Yes, I do, yes.
Okay. So a house ball means that's the ball that the bowling alley owns. If you don't have your own ball, okay, there's a good chance you're putting your hand in something. Now, some people that go bowling, if you look, you know, some of these people could be a little, you know, you put your hand in something that their hand was in it, their fingers are inside these holes. Just imagine the amount of disgusting germs and sludge that could be in those holes of those bowling balls, and you put your fingers in there.
Yes.
And then, you know, you're bowling. Oh, look, I got a spare. I got a, you know, 6'10 split. And then you're rubbing your nose. You're rubbing your lips. And meanwhile, you put your fingers in this filthy, putrid bowling ball.
Well, right. I mean, all that is true. But the point is, Bell was ruled out before he went bowling.
Oh, okay. Scratch everything I just said then.
So, I mean, he was out sick and had the flu before he actually went bowling.
Did you say that when you laid the story up? That's a no.
Yes.
Well, yes, I did. Yeah.
Did.
I wasn't sure if I did, but
Mike.
Did.
Damn.
So he was, yes.
Well, anyway, I just gave like a PSA about bowling. So if anybody that's worrying.
Well, I don't know if I'm ever going to go again. So. Yeah. I was saying, I haven't gone in a while, and then you went on your monologue, and I'm like, I'm scratching that off the list.
Make sure to wash your hands.
So Lev Bell got sick. He had the flu, right?
Yeah, and then he went out bowling. Correct. He was dealing with an illness and sickness, the flu, all week. Was missing practice and everything. Was ruled out for the game on Sunday. Was reportedly out bowling Saturday night after being ruled out of the game on Sunday.
Yeah, he shouldn't have did that. That all kidding aside, he shouldn't have did that. I mean, you can't do that unless he was watching people bowl. You know, that's entertaining.
Even, I'll be honest with you. The last thing I want to, if I'm really sick, the last thing I want to do is be out watching or bowling,
especially in a bowling alley. But I'm telling you, there's a lot of germs.
Well,
in this
place. I know.
If he doesn't get better, then maybe that could be part of it.
Well, maybe that could be part of it.
That's true.
Way to help him out, Brad.
That's true.
Appreciate that.
Yeah.
Brad just threw you a little bit of a life raft.
Rope.
Yes. No, that's what I'm here for.
My
that's
facts it. About the bowling alley are true, though. It is loaded with germs. I didn't realize Bell. I don't follow Lev Bell's health and sickness regimen or his recreational time.
Gotcha. It's just a terrible look.
It is.
For Bell, it's a terrible look. Now, he's been a good Jet. He's dealt with a lot this year. He's dealt with a lot of BS this year. He hasn't been used wisely by the head coach, Adam Gase, in terms of the play calling. There's been a lot here that Le'Veon Bell has had to deal with year one. Plus, he's coming off an offseason, which he didn't necessarily get the contract that he was looking for here, Taz. So that all comes part and parcel. Then you compound the issue with a lot of people believe in the conspiracy theory on Sunday with the Dolphins is that Adam Gase ramped up the running game because Bell was not there. So you saw more Bilal Powell till he got hurt late in the game, and Ty Montgomery, and that ground game was a little bit more featured because the previous week when they took on the Cincinnati Bengals, Le'Veon Bell only had 5 carries in the first half. And people said, well, what the hell's going on here? How do you not run the football more against the 28th rush defense in the NFL against the Cincinnati Bengals? Now Bell's out. Was Adam Gase trying to prove a point? Because there was the reports, if you really want to kind of do another layer, there was the reports after Maccagnan got fired that Adam Gase wanted no part of Le'Veon Bell in free agency and would not have paid, does not believe in paying running backs big money.
I can't believe that an athlete can't play football with the flu. That drives me crazy.
Okay.
Every time I wrestle with the flu, guys I know wrestled with the flu. God, there's no days off, man.
Yeah.
Just go. But you're giving Gase too much credit. I got to be honest with you. He's not thinking like that.
I don't know about that.
I don't know.
I think Adam Gase is a strange guy.
Oh, that's a fact right there.
Well, and I also don't think he's a particularly good head coach, and maybe he's going out there to try and prove a point.
I don't know. I think he's just trying to win games because he knows that these people think he's a jabroni.
Well, not according to the owner. The owner loves him, Chris Johnson, who's making the decision.
He's a jabroni, too.
Yeah.
How about that?
Yes.
I'm just telling you, you got to be careful with the flu. I understand that. I know you people aren't used to work with people that actually go to work when they're sick. But I've wrestled in front of a lot of people with the flu and wrestled men with the flu. And it's called being tough.
Yeah.
Brad, you understand this. That's what it's about.
Not even a little. I don't understand being tough at all. I mean, if someone has the flu, get them away from me. And if I had the flu,
well, Moose and I deal with that a lot. We deal with that a lot in the studio. We've had people working for us that they're sick in the studio, and then we have to come and grind.
You don't want that, right?
No.
You don't want
that. It drives us nuts.
So, I mean, they sent Bell home because they didn't want to get everybody else sick.
Right.
So he went bowling.
Sure. So he went bowling and got the whole bowling alley sick.
Yes, that's it. Right.
All right, Brad, take it away.
All right, guys, this report is sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Progressive makes it easy to compare quotes and get a great rate with the Home Quote Explorer only at Progressive.com. 6-7 right now is good enough for first place tie in the NFC East. The Eagles last night drawing even with the Cowboys after a comeback win over the last place Giants.
Shotgun snap. Looks, catches, arm throws in the end zone. Touchdown! Ertz underneath the crossbar! Eagles have won the game in overtime!
23-17, the final. Kevin Harlan had the call and Westwood won. The Eagles erasing a 17-3 halftime deficit. That was the second Carson Wentz to Zach Ertz touchdown connection. And on this one, Ertz was wide open.
I still got to watch the tape. I'm not really sure what happened. I'd probably cover Ertz in the red zone. I think they had some miscommunications there when we brought him in motion. So, that was a sweet way to win.
And Wentz needed Ertz after Alshon Jeffrey was taken off on a cart with a foot injury. Former practice squad player Boston Scott ran for a touchdown. The Eagles snap a three-game losing streak. The Giants have lost 9 in a row, tying a franchise record. They're 2-11. Eli Manning, his first start since week 2, he did throw 2 touchdown passes. Meanwhile, the Patriots are taking responsibility for a production crew inappropriately filming the field and sideline during the Bengals-Browns game in Cleveland. The crew was for a web series focusing on an advanced scout, but the Patriots didn't tell the Bengals or the NFL about it, which they called, quote, an unintended oversight. Pats faced the Bengals on Sunday. They say the video crew is not part of football operations. No comment yet from the NFL. The Heisman Trophy finalists, LSU's Joe Burrow, the big favorite. Also, Oklahoma's Jalen Hurts and Ohio State teammates Justin Fields and Chase Young. The winner will be announced Saturday night in New York City. NBA, the Bucks have won 15 straight. They topped the Magic 110-101, Milwaukee 21-3, tied with the Lakers for the best record. The Clippers beat the Pacers 110-99. Paul George scored 36. He was booed all night in Indiana, even though he's been back there before, and he said the fans don't know the whole story.
Someday I'll do a tell-all and tell the leading events of how I left Indiana. And I promise you, I'm not the one to boo.
Elsewhere, Derrick Rose at the game winner for the Pistons.
A little
cryptic there for Mr.
Yes,
George.
Yes, no doubt about it.
Seriously. Derrick Rose, the game winner for the Pistons. They beat the Pelicans 105-103. Nemanja Bjelica hit a three at the buzzer for the Kings. They stunned the Rockets 119-118. The baseball's winter meetings. Of course, Steven Strasburg, that record deal for a pitcher, 7 years, $245 million to stay with the Nationals. But Gerrit Cole's expected to break that, whether it's the Yankees, the Dodgers, the Angels, or somebody else.
You see Boston Scott's trending? You see that?
I did not, no.
Because we just talked about him.
That's exactly right. Hey. No, he's breaking ankles. He was breaking ankles on that field yesterday, man.
He was great last night.
So he's trending right now. It's pretty cool.
That is the squad player. Boston. That's a good name. That's
that
a cool name.
We were saying that earlier. Yeah, must have missed that segment.
Yes.
Yeah.
Boston Scott.
I did a whole segment on that.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. I didn't miss your flu wrestling segment, though.
You're right. Well, you're sitting right here. I hope not.
He called it a monologue, Moose, when I went on my little diatribe. That's what this guy here.
It was a bowling held. Monologue.
No, oh. You called it a monologue.
You said monologue or segment? Monologue. There
both.
You go.
Something, right?
Both.
Yeah. You called it both.
I did.
Oh, we had Heller here yesterday.
Bobby Heller.
We had him in here yesterday.
Nice. How'd he do?
He's all right. I was trying to help him, though. Antonio Heller.
Thanks,
He kind of had like a whole, well, then you're a pro. I mean, you know that. We want me to kiss your ass.
What, uncomfortable layouts?
No, well, that... Tobias Heller, that actually came up.
Right.
He said uncomfortable layouts. That actually came up. But anyway, it's like he was here. Like Moose was here. But anyway, no, I was trying to help him. He looked a little mentally not, like he checked out like a little bit.
That's not
yesterday.
Fair.
Yeah, he looked a little
Why?
Bit.
What happened, bro?
I don't mean like
it was Monday morning. It was the Monday morning, like, you know, I got
Rager
no
over
sleep
the weekend?
No Rangers. No.
I gave him a little bit one of my Taz psych lay on the couch gimmicks, and I helped him out and get through
you
it.
You motivated him?
Yeah.
You know,
I picked
nice.
Him up. Yeah, right? You felt good after that.
I mean, I walked out of here fired up.
He does seem
Jimmy,
better today.
Jim Heller.
Does seem better today.
He does. Because he knows. He's in the crosshairs. So you can't mess around, Heller.
No, I can't mess around. Well, it's...
He's in the crosshairs right now.
You seem more on your game. Do you feel more... You feel fresher this morning?
A little bit, I do. Yeah. Mondays
really
are always...
Really convincing.
You guys know when you come back from Monday is a weekend where you're on a normal
Actually,
schedule and you got to get up early.
You know what? No? We kick ass. It don't matter.
Do you get
Monday,
excited?
Wednesday, it don't matter. We're excited all the
like,
time.
Like, do you ever get excited, Brad?
In life?
Yes. Well,
yeah,
no, not in life.
I do.
In death.
I do.
Do you get excited?
I yes, do get is. Excited. In, yes,
there,
I
there
do.
Are times where you know, because you don't. You seem very, very
mundane.
Level.
Mundane Jones.
Yes, yeah. Very level.
He's like under level. He's not level.
Yeah.
It's like he's under the equator line.
Like you just see.
He's
like,
under the Mendoza line.
Right. Like your pulse has got to be one beat a minute.
Well, he's at low blood pressure, which is actually unhealthy,
no,
Brad. You should get that looked at.
I'm saying that's a good thing. You're like calm, cool, and collected. Doesn't seem like anything gets to you.
I wish that was the case, but yeah, I guess.
Did you go to the Christmas party last night?
I did.
How was it?
Oh, what a mock.
It was good. It was loud. It was loud. It was at this really swanky spot.
How was the
lower
food?
Manhattan. The food was really good.
What'd they offer?
They had herb roasted chicken.
Hors d'oeuvres or
poached salmon. There was great hors d'oeuvres.
Let him tell us what you're jumping
Great
over.
Hors d'oeuvres.
Oh, no. When he was going through the roasted chicken, I was wondering if that was an hors d'oeuvre or main
no,
dish.
No. They had a little buffet set up, and they also had hors d'oeuvres walking around.
Okay.
They had
Pete said there was pot stickers.
pot. There was chicken and waffles, little mini.
They had a lovely roast duck.
They had chicken and
there
waffles.
There was no roast duck.
They had chicken and waffles?
They did. Little mini chicken, like in these cones, like
really?
These mini ice cream.
How was that?
Cones. That was really
hot
good.
Hot chicken?
Yeah.
Oh, a lot of the big
lobster
wings.
Rolls.
Did you wear a suit?
Not like I physically hot suit. Chicken. I'm talking about spicy chicken.
How many questions we're hitting this guy with?
Like
yes,
Memphis
already.
Hot chicken.
Just keep them coming.
did they give you like a little maple syrup dipping sauce with that?
No, it was kind of in there. It was like little sprinkled.
Really?
Oh, yeah, it was really good.
Did you wear a suit?
Drizzled, I did not.
Not sprinkled.
Was there a dress code?
There was no. It was a very nice place. There wasn't a specific dress code, but it was, you know, you couldn't probably show up in.
Well, all the big bosses there.
As far as I saw, yes.
It's a good thing I didn't go.
Did you?
Mike, Pete, did you guys go?
Did not.
I did not.
Shocking, shocking. Right, so you went, Brad. Are you a company man? Is that what we got going on here? Are you like ass kissing Jones? Like, what's your story?
No, it was a chance to see people that you don't normally see.
Oh, God, please, Brad.
That's a nice job by him.
And it was a chance to get a nice meal. And I live here. And I
well,
live
Taz, you're
by.
Not coming in from, you know.
Yeah, that's part of it,
deal.
Too.
A lot in the
people,
city, which helps.
Once your gates close and the moat's up, there's no leaving the Taz household. So you're not getting out of there at 4 o'clock
once
in the afternoon.
Once the dragon's let out of its cage.
Right. Not, I covered this. I'm just right. So you guys moose
no,
going.
No, I know.
You're
no interest in going.
I'm not going to go crazy again. I'm not going to have this outrage. I'm not. But I just want to, for anybody that's new to the show.
Right.
If that company Christmas party was held. Mike's closing his eyes right now. Mike just
this
does
is
it.
Taz.
Yeah. It is Taz.
I am Taz.
Don't worry, Moose is Moose shut his mic. He's not getting in trouble. Moose, you're not gonna get in trouble. It's all Taz.
I understand you're not going there.
I'm just saying, if the party was on my property, if they say, hey Taz, can we use those giant tents you rent for birthday parties that can fit a small village? Can we use your compound? I would say, sure you can. I would even charge them rent. And I'd sit in my den.
Still wouldn't go.
And I'd watch the Eagles and the Giants and Monday Night Raw.
That game was terrible. I would rather watch Raw.
I would have watched Raw.
I
wouldn't even
Raw.
Go on
the
my football
game. Was terrible.
17-3 at halftime. You're not peeking your head outside and seeing what the
See Mark Chernoff eating a pig in a blanket? No, I'm good. Thanks.
I didn't see any pigs in a blanket.
Oh, those are the best hors d'oeuvres.
They are, actually.
There we go. I thought we were all of a sudden down in New Orleans. It was a jazz festival.
So I can't believe that this guy went. You went to this party.
Yeah,
why would I not go?
Oh, I have answers for that, but I don't think I'll do that because Moose will show his mic again.
Why would I not go?
Well, what do you I mean,
I don't know.
I'm trying to
I've never been there before.
Listen.
All right, I'll stop.
Did you see
I
lot
can't
of people...
fault anybody for going. It's a personal... And it all depends on your schedule, too, if you can go. There's some people that
I didn't
just
stay
can't
for the
go.
Whole thing because, you know, we got to work
mornings.
You're
working early in the morning.
So...
The odds of you going are slim. You're not going to go.
This commute's a lot easier.
If you don't live in the city and you work
much.
Early in the
you
morning.
You guys are all like... I have no fear.
My spirit
anybody.
Was there.
I have no fear.
No, it wasn't.
Luke's about
this
to
is not about fear.
This is Taz saying this. I have no fear.
This is not about fear. It's about, I would have went if I could have. I just had work. I'd work at SNY last night.
You wouldn't have went.
But anyway. I would have.
Okay, that's great. But listen, well, there are a lot of people there that work in the pit here. Not the salespeople, all the fancy dams. I'm talking about the people that are in the pit. I'm talking about Bobby Dwyer. I'm talking about Ace Kazari.
Dwyer was there.
Yep, Dwyer was there. Kazari was there.
Boys.
Yeah.
Al Dukes, I'm sure he was there.
He was there.
Oh, I guarantee
those
Al
Those guys didn't stay a while, but they
guys.
Were there.
You kidding me? And Boomer, I'm sure, was there with his blonde hair,
Boomer
6 foot 9.
Boomer made a brief appearance.
He walked in yelling at everyone, Boomer!
Yeah, whipped down, had a couple of drinks.
The music was so loud, I didn't
Mike
hear
Francesa?
Anybody yelling.
Was Mike Francesa there?
I did not
no,
see
No, he was
Mike
not
Francesa.
There. Right, that's the name no one wants to hear, right? Okay. Well, Gio, he was there.
Gio was there briefly, yes.
Gio was there.
Recco, no.
Did not see Jerry Recco.
I could name who's there. I know this.
I will tell you that I walked
Recco,
in.
Recco, was he calling a Rutgers game last night?
I don't think. No, Rutgers didn't have a game last night. Okay. But I will tell you, I walked in. I got there. It started at 5. I walked in soon after. And I literally looked around and I'm like, I don't even know if I work at this company.
Oh, wow.
Because there's such
sure
a big sales. I wasn't sure. And then finally, some of the crew from, you know, the pit, as you called it, whatever you called it, as they walked in. And, you know.
Oh, and then you were in your comfort zone.
Then I was in
what
my
was
comfort
zone. What was the best thing you ate?
Oh, Moose keeps going back to the food.
I was just curious.
Safe zone. Safe zone, Jones.
No, it was, I was curious. The roasted chicken or the salmon?
No, the salmon was great. There was also risotto. And then one of the hors d'oeuvres was sesame cauliflower.
You know what I ate? I had a microwave burrito at my house, and I enjoyed that more than going to that park.
Sesame cauliflower. Risotto's tough to serve on a risotto.
No, that was not. That was in the buffet with the chicken and the salmon.
No, but that's tough on a buffet because if it's sitting a while, it really hardens.
You know what, Moose? I should have went to that party.
Risotto's got to be nice, creamy,
and
served hot, made fresh.
I would have went to that. I should have went to that party where a Taz and a Moose hoodie and a Taz and a Moose T-shirt. And caused a big scene.
Yeah.
There was a little picture done, with a station. Yeah, there was you would have looked good in the picture.
Oh, really? Was there a photo of me and Moose?
There was a photo, like, area, you know, where you put on costume masks.
What is this, for kids?
So there was a photo booth?
There was a photo area,
A photo booth? What are we, 5 years old?
Yeah, it's
Moose's son's birthday was yesterday. You should have had it at this Christmas party.
I should have, right.
Are we adults here?
We had a nice ice cream cake from Carvel, which is delicious.
They were fancy little pastries.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, all different kinds.
I'm
red
so
velvet, chocolate,
go.
Apple.
Got to reply to the email. I did on the air. All right, Moose, I got to stop.
Brad, go do your other
All right.
You have to leave.
Thanks, Brad.
You have to go. Otherwise, you're going to miss your mark on the others. Now you got about 45 seconds. Right. Run, Brad, run.
Go, Brad.
There you go. Pete, you can hit it. That's the cue. Thank you.
I got to relax.
Right, Strasburg gets paid. A little baseball we work into the mix. The impact on Gerrit Cole. It's Taz of the Moose with you on a Tuesday morning. CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
So, baseball winter meetings, which have been a bore, really, the last couple of years, Taz. They've kicked off. It's going out in San Diego, obviously, out west, or as you would say in hashtag We Over West Coast Jones.
Did you go?
I flew out there and flew back. Back here at 6 a.m.
All right.
Right for the show.
Quick turnaround.
No doubt. So yesterday, Steven Strasburg gets his deal because there was a report about 3 weeks ago that he wanted a deal done by December 9th. Yesterday was December 9th, and he got his deal from the Washington Nationals. 7 years, $245 million for the World Series MVP and the playoff hero. 31 years of age, has had arm issues in the past, was dynamic in the postseason for the Nats, unbelievable in the World Series, pitching out of the bullpen at times as well. And now he sets the marketplace. You got Wheeler in Philadelphia. You got over his $100 million deal. What was it, $118 million for 5 years from the Philadelphia Phillies?
Yeah. Oh,
Strasburg gets $245. And they're talking about Gerrit Cole, who's 2 years younger than Strasburg at 29 years of age. That Gerrit Cole is going to get in the neighbor over well over $300 million, an 8 or 9 year deal.
That's the first ever. That would be the first ever $300 million arm, right?
Yeah, correct.
Wow. I mean, just this deal here for Steven Strasburg, though, crazy, right? Big-time right-hander, obviously, Clutch Jones, stud on the hill, $245 million, and that's going to get passed by Cole. That's crazy.
Crazy. Now, $80 million of that money for Strasburg is deferred, so he's going to be getting paid till I think 2030 he's going to be getting paid until I think 2040 or something like that.
Man.
He's getting a lot of money that's deferred in the contract. However, even with that being said, it's all coming to him. I mean, it's not like it's not going to come to him. And now for Gerrit Cole, the question is, with the Yankees and the Angels reportedly being the top two pursuers for Gerrit Cole, you know, how high are you willing to go? You got Artie Moreno with the Angels, who just brought in Manning to be their manager. They've got the best player in the world, Mike Trout, manning center field for them. They're a desperate franchise for relevancy. They've not been able to be relevant with Trout. They're desperate for a starter. Are the Yankees and Angels, are they willing to get into a bidding war here? And when is enough enough? I mean, are they willing to go to 330, 340? I mean, how high is too high? Are they willing to go 10 years on Gerrit Cole and say at $350 million? I mean, when is enough enough when you look at Gerrit Cole, who some people believe is the best starter to hit the free agency market in quite some time?
Listen, it's going to be a bidding war for sure, and big-time money for sure. And if you're the Yankees, You have to get Gerrit Cole. You have to get it done.
No matter what.
You got it. You got to get it done. That's your missing piece. You need this guy immensely. You need him. You got to pay what you got to pay for this guy. I mean, there's got to be a cap number, of course. Can't give the guy $400 million.
No, true. But I mean, but would you be willing to go 10 years at $35 million a year? 10 years, $350 million.
How old is he again?
29.
Wow.
And he just turned 29. I think in September or October.
Wow, man, 10 years.
So he's not going to turn 30 here in the next.
If I'm the Yankees, I would. You got to get him.
10 years, $350 million.
You got to get him on that team. You got to get him on that team. Don't you think so? I know you're a Yankee fan.
Well, I
right?
know, you but let him. Me ask you this. Is there that big of a difference between him and Bumgarner? Now, I don't know if Madison Bumgarner... I mean, there's a difference. But I'm talking about, say if you can get Madison Bumgarner for $120 million. Are you, and 5 years. Are you willing to then go, say, an extra $225 million and an additional 5 years of contract for Gerrit Cole?
I'd rather Cole. Not only that, dude, it weakens.
Even with the money being a factor.
It weakens the Astros immensely. You know?
Oh, that's true.
So that's a big part of it for the Yankees.
But he's leaving the Astros anyway, right?
Right, so you want him with you. You don't want him with the Angels.
That's true.
You don't want him with the Angels. The Angels got Trout Jones. That's bad enough offensively. And they got a really strong team. You don't want him with the Angels. You want him with the Yankees. You got to want him. If you're the Yankees, you got to make that happen.
So you think...
Not Bumgarner, this guy.
Okay, so it's got to be... It's Gerrit Cole or bust. So then what's the number? What is too much? I said 350 10 years, and you said you got to. We'll say it's 360 for 10 years. Is that too much?
I'd probably stop at 350.
Would be the top.
For 10 years. I mean, it's not my money. I could spend it like crazy, you know? But no, I would go 350 for 10 years. Excuse me. I would. What about you? I mean, you're a Yankee fan.
I don't know if I'd go $350 million for 10 years.
Wow.
I might go 9 years at $35 million a year. I might go. I think my top offer would probably be 9 years at $315 million.
Well, that's a big difference.
Well, it is a big difference. I agree with you. I'm giving a guy $315 million guaranteed. Yeah, it's a $35 million difference. I took a year and $35 million off of the plate.
I mean, at that point, though, you're splitting hairs. You're spending $300-something million over.
No,
like,
I get it. I get it. So $350.
This guy's going to get you that championship.
Well, that's what you hope for,
man. It's the
guy. That's what you hope for. I don't disagree. That's what you hope for.
With that offense the Yankees have, dude, forget about it.
Well, it'd be ridiculous. Imagine being Gerrit Cole right now. What life must be like, knowing what is coming your way.
Amazing.
29 years of age and sitting there. I mean, I wouldn't want this to end. People kissing your rear end. You got two teams, including the Yankees, that are basically willing to do whatever that it is to get you. And you're looking in the neighborhood at you're going to get a contract well over $300 million in guaranteed money.
It's crazy, man.
It's insane. That's crazy amount of money. But I'll tell you, Taz, we're both huge baseball fans. You know, baseball needs a good winter meetings because the winter meetings, as of late, when you and I were much young, when we were younger and growing up, baseball winter meetings used to be action.
Yeah.
There used to be trades. Yeah, there used to be free agent signings. Every day there were rumors and rumbling. The winter meetings the last couple of years have been an absolute bore. There's been nothing that has gone on, nothing of great significance. Maybe this year is when the baseball winter meetings get back to the baseball winter meetings be what they...
Why do you think that is, though? Because you're right. I mean, back in the day, it was different.
I think it's teams unwilling to spend the money at that time, looking to try and wait out the market. I think that has a lot to do with it. A little fearful, maybe feeling like they got... the rug pulled out from underneath them on some of these deals and feel like they got the worst end of deals if they were over-aggressive early and wanted to wait out the marketplace.
Mm.
I think that's probably what transpired.
Yeah.
But it hurt baseball.
Definitely. Definitely. Yeah. No, but this thing here, man, if Cole ends up with the Yankees,
oh my God,
that's a massive game changer. I would guess Vegas would put the Yankees at the top of the list to win the World Series, I would think.
I would imagine. I would imagine they would.
You feel like that if he goes to the Angels, that they would have that same?
No.
I don't either.
I don't think so.
I don't either.
No, because I don't think the Angels, I think they're more than just Gerrit Cole away.
Do we know off the top of our heads, where's he from, Cole?
He's from Southern California.
So he might want to go to the Angels.
Well, that was those rumblings over the course of the season that he wanted to go to Southern California. Then,
instead of playing in the Bronx.
When he met with the Yankees, he said that's not the case. I think Gerrit Cole wants to go where the most amount of money is.
Give me $350. Give me $250. Geez, at this point, give me $150.
Yeah, I'll take $50.
Give me, I'll take 25.
Yeah, exactly.
We're a hell of a bargain.
Right, exactly.
We're going low.
We'll come back. We got the three for you. The biggest headlines you need to know here on this Tuesday morning. CBS Sports Radio.